This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa arzuqna attiba'a. Wa arina al-batila batila wa arzuqna ijtinaba. علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم واكرمنا بنور الفهم وانعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We continue the great openings of the great man Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله تعالى عنه. We last week we heard how Allah عز وجل was with the believers when they fought against the Persians in a great battle, the battle of Qadisiyah. And for tonight to continue the great openings of the Muslims around the world, all the way to east, to China and India, and all the way west to Istanbul in Turkey and after Egypt. After the Qadisiyah, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu ordered the believers with the leadership of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas to continue towards east, taking over Persia. Now Persia is not a small empire back then. Now it is, it's called Iran, but back then used to extend all the way to Russia, Afghanistan, all the way to Pakistan, and just a bit before India. That's how big the Persian Empire was. And the Qadisiyah is just at the beginning on the borders of the Arabian Peninsula and Persia. When Sa'd ibn Waqqas went after Qadisiyah, they went to Mada'in. Mada'in was the capital city of the Persians back then. And we heard how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the believers. And that was a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, Allah had shown me the white house of the Persian empress being opened. And the white house is a white great palace in Mada'in, the capital city of Persia, where the Persian empress used to settle. Over there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the believers. The Ava took Mada'in and turned the Persian house, the Persian empress castle, the white house, into a mosque. Till our day now, it's a mosque. And then Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent all the booties to Umar ibn al-Khattab, who mentioned how the booties were. One of the booties was called al-Qitf. Al-Qitf was a great carpet, 30 meters wide by 30 meters. So big. This carpet is about 15 meters. 15 meters by 15 meters. Imagine double the size of this carpet, one piece. And on that carpet was made like gardens and rivers out of gold and out of all these different silk materials. And when it came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw something amazing he's never seen in his life. So he was confused what to do with it. So at the end he decided to cut it, and he cut it and divided the pieces of it to different companions. Ali ibn Abi Talib had a piece, a small piece, he sold it for 20,000 dinar. That's how expensive it was, and something that out of the imagination of the Arabs back then. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to the believers. Now, Mada'in now became the capital city of the Muslims in Persia. The Persian emperors, Yazdajard, fled to a place called Jalula. A place called Jalula, just more east towards Mada'in. And then Umar ibn Khattab ordered Sa'd ibn Waqqas, who is the leader of the Persian state for the Muslims, to continue opening their cities. So they went to Jalula, he sent Al-Hashim bin Utbah and Al-Qaqa with 12,000 believers to fight against the Persians. They went to Jalula, fought against the Persians, surrounded them, put them under siege for 70 days. Then they conquered Jalula. Yazdajard, the Persian empress, fled from Jalula to another place called the Hilwan. And then After every city that the Persian emperors fled to or runs to, the Muslims chase him and take over the city that he's in. Until he went to Maru. Maru is in Afghanistan till our day now. It's called Maru. He fled to Maru and he hid over there. The believers are taking over and opening city after a city, city after a city, until they went far into the west, far into the east. Now Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu got scared. He got scared that the believers are moving into east. And there's not much of them. There's only 30,000, there's 30,000 Muslims, 30,000 soldiers. He got scared of the Muslims moving into east, into these big massive lands with these massive areas. And there's no backup for the Muslims. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent to Sa'ad ibn Waqas, stop moving into east. Where you are now, you stop and take care of the Muslim states and the state cities that you took over. One of the cities that were around there is called the Hawazin, Ahwaz. Al-Ahwaz is a great city that's on the borders of the Arabian Peninsula. The settlers of the city of Ahwaz are Arabs, but was controlled by the Persians. One leader, his name is Hamazan, influenced the Arabs in Ahwaz to fight against the Muslims. And a lot of the Persian soldiers gathered in Ahwaz. And there a great battle happened against the Muslims. At the end, Hamazan decided to make a peace treaty between him and the Muslims. Especially after the Muslims influenced the Arabs inside the Ahwaz and told them, you are from our blood and you are from us. Stand with us, then stand with them, and we'll give you better support than what they give you. So they started to change until they rebelled against the Hamazan. And then the Hamazan fled to another city and he broke his treaty with the believers again, and they captured him. When they captured the Hamazan, they took him to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very humble khalifa. The Hamazan, Sa'd ibn Waqas, ordered the believers to take him, the Muslims to take him to Umar ibn Khattab, wearing his treasure that he usually wears and his clothing that he usually wears. Until he arrived to Medina, and he was captured by the believers, and Umar ibn Khattab asked for him to come to Medina and for Umar ibn Khattab to take a judgment on him. When he came to Medina, he saw people sleeping in the mosque. So he asked, where is Umar? So they told him, he's somewhere sleeping there. So they found him and they said, that's him, the one that's sleeping there. So Hamazan was freaked out. He was amazed. Where's his soldiers? Where's his security? Where's his men around him? Where's his people? Where's this and where's that? He was amazed. He comes from a background from Persia where the king of them has got 100,000 security around him. And he's got 100,000 jewelry around him. He's got 100,000 maids and slaves around him. But now he saw the strongest man, the strongest ruler in the world, with no one around him. That was amazing to him. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu wake up. And he saw him. And then when he saw the appearance of wearing all this expensive clothing and jewelry around, he said, Alhamdulillah that Allah disgraced people like him. Alhamdulillah that Islam disgraces people like that, oppressors like that, unjust rulers like that. And then Hamazan tells Umar, before Islam, you used to gather against us, or you used to fight against us, we used to defeat you. And now because of your religion, Islam is won against us. So Umar ibn Khattab told him, yes, because of the jahiliyyah of the ignorant days, you won against us. But now because of Islam, we defeat you. And then a story happened between him and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he asked for a water. So Umar ibn Khattab got him a cup of water. So he said, I'm scared to drink this water and then you'll kill me. So Umar ibn Khattab told him, no worries, you are safe until you drink this water. And then he threw that water. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw that scene. What did you do that for? And then he started talking away. The Umar ibn Khattab said, I'm going to kill you. Now I'm going to kill you. He said, he just told me, I'm safe until I drink the water. I'm not going to drink the water because I'll be safe. Khalas. Since I'm safe until the time I drink water, I'm safe. He can't do anything. And you gave me your word. So the companions were amazed from his saying. So they told him, so Umar al-Khattab said, did I give him the aman, did I give him the safety, the security? So Anas bin Malik was standing next to him, said, yes, you gave him security. And then Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu forced him to drink the water. And after he drank the water, he said, I'm going to kill you now. He said, no. He said, I'm going to kill you now. He said, no, you gave me the safe. He said, wallahi, I don't give security to no one except a Muslim. So he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So I'm a Muslim now. You can't do anything to me. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't do anything to him. And he let him go because he became a Muslim. Now, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was consulting the companions. And they were suggesting to him that, oh Umar, since his Dajjal, the Persian empress, is still alive, he'll still influence his people to fight against us. So it's either you get rid of his Dajjal, the Persian empress, and you'll get rid of all Persia, or then he's just going to gather up again and army and fight against us. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after consulting one another, he decided to fight against, he decided to send another troop towards the east, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and destroying his desert. Now, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu started to get more different, started to get a lot of the Muslims and the Arabs that were fighting in Persia. And he saw the appearance changing. And he saw them getting skinnier and their flesh becoming harder. They're not used to the environment. The Arabs never knew anything after the Euphrates River. That's why they used to call the countries after the Euphrates River a Bilad Mawara and Nahr. They used to call the countries behind the river. Khalas, they call all the country behind the river. They don't know these things. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu ordered Sa'd ibn Waqas to send Salman al-Farisi and to send Hudhayf ibn Yaman. Salman al-Farisi is originally from Persia, and Hudhayf ibn Yaman, who understands the Arabs and their mentality and their environment, to establish a new state and city that the Arabs could settle in Iraq. So Salman al-Farisi and Hudhayf ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhum start to look around in a good place where it's next to the water, next to the crops, and it's a dry land where the Arabs are used to. And between them and the Medina, there's no rivers and there's no things, there's no obstacles for them to reach to. Until they found a place next to the Euphrates River, it's called Al-Kufa. Down there they established a city, and with one of the companions, his name Ibn Malik, he was a architect, he established the city, he drew the city and established a mosque and a full city with roads and houses. And Sa'd ibn Abu Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu called upon the believers to start settling in Kufa. And then the same year, another city was called Al-Basra, just south of Kufa, was established, where the believers settled in. It was more easier for them from going all the way to Medina. They're in Basra now. The state is in Basra. The capital city now, Kaman, is Kufa. They could go all the way east and they could come back where they live in. Now, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu ordered Sa'd ibn Waqas to start going east and fought against the Persians until he destroys the Persians, especially the Persian empress. At that time, a complaint came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu about Sa'd ibn Waqqas, from his people. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent one of the companions to investigate into the complaints. That those people complained about their leader Sa'd ibn Waqqas, and he found out that wasn't true. At the end, after he found that Sa'd ibn Waqqas was innocent, he did isolate Sa'd ibn Waqqas. He took him away from the leadership and he put in his position in Nu'man bin Muqarran Rahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said, wallahi, I do not want a leader. I don't accept to have a leader who his people have grudges against him. Although Sa'd ibn Waqqas was innocent, he didn't do anything. And he found out that he was innocent, but he did not want to have any leader that his people have grudges against him. One of the leaders that Umar ibn Khattab had under him is Al-Ala bin Hadrami. Ala bin Hadrami was the minister on Bahrain. Bahrain is on between, it's on the Arab Gulf. Between them and Persia there's a small gulf. Now Ala bin Hadrami, when he started to hear about the great openings of Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas, he got jealous. So without the approval of Umar ibn Khattab, and without consulting his Amir, he went to start to fight against the Persians. He went from Bahrain all the way to Persia to a place called the Stakhar. And down there the Persians were ready for him, so they attacked him. And forced him to go towards the west. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu later on, he found out after what? After the believers and the Muslims under the leadership of Ala bin Hadrami were defeated without even the approval and the permission of Umar ibn Khattab. So Umar ibn Khattab ordered Sa'd ibn Waqqas to send troops to support Al-Ala bin Hadrami. So they supported Al-Ala bin Hadrami's troops and took him away from the obstacle that was stuck in where the Persians attacked them. And then Umar ibn Khattab punished Ala ibn Hadrami for not consulting his Amir and not even talking to his Amir about what he was doing. And then he told him he no longer the minister of Bahrain, exchanged him with another companion, and he sent him to be under Sa'd ibn Waqqas, or sent him to be under the minister of Kufa. Now the companions are going towards east. There's a battle, the greatest battle, or the last greatest battle that happened in Persia, was the Battle of Nahawand, where the Yazdajard had assigned Al-Fayruzan, who was a minister of defense, to fight, and to, yani, he assigned him to get a great number of Persians and to fight the Muslims one man's heat. Al-Fayruzan gathered over 150,000 Persian soldiers in a place called Nahawand, and the believers were 12,000 of them. They went towards Nahawand. On the way, 3 days, the believers, the Muslims, 3 days before Nahawand, Sa'd ibn Waqqas sent three companions to spy and to see what's going on exactly. So three of them went all the way to Nahawand, the city Nahawand, then they came back and they said, listen, it's free for us. Our victory is waiting for us on the doorsteps of that city. So Nu'man bin Muqarran radiallahu ta'ala, and who was at the front of the troop, ordered Al-Qa'qa' bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to fight against the Persians first of all. The way they used to divide the armies back then, they used to have the forwards. The forwards is a separate troop or platoon that starts off the battle, and then they've got the backup from behind and the fight. The Persians had a great castle in Nahawand. They were protecting themselves in that castle. And Nu'man bin Muqarran and Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas were the leaders of that troop. 12,000 of them, realized they have to take out the Persians out. They can't fight them inside the castles. They are hiding inside the castles. So what did the Nu'man do, radiallahu ta'ala anhu? He ordered Qa'qa' bin Amr with a small troop to fight against the Persians. And of course, what's going to happen with that very small number against 150,000? Of course, they're going to start retreating back. But it was a trick from the Nu'man. Qa'qa' bin Amr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, attacked the Persians. The Persians start to fight against the Qa'qa'. The Qa'qa' start to go behind because it's got a small number. So the Persians saw the scene, that are winning and they are defeating the Nu'man, defeating the Muslims. So they all start to come out of their castles. They all start to come out of their great castle that were protecting themselves. So Nu'man was just hiding from behind. When he saw the Persians all coming out of the castle, they all ran into them and fought against the Persians and won against them until they took over Nahawand. That was the greatest opening. It was called Fath al-Futuh, the open of all openings. That was the last great battle in Persia. Now, Yazdajard is hiding in Afghanistan. He's hiding in he's still in his stay, he's still in his empire in Afghanistan. It's called Maru. Now, Nu'man bin Muqarran and Sa'd ibn Waqqas chased him to there. When he heard about them coming, he went to another state. And then that state was on the borders of the Indian Empire. So the Yazdajard, the Persian emperor, started to ask support from the Chinese and the Indian and the Turkish emperors. He started to ask support from them, and he told them, listen, look, he's coming to your borders now. If he's not going to support me now, he'll come and attack you. You are next. So they started to send some support, not all the support, because they were afraid. And the story says that when the messenger of the Persian empress went to the Chinese empress, the Chinese empress was asking, who are those people that you're fighting against? So he said, we're fighting against people called Muslims. He said, who are these Muslims? He said, they're the followers of Muhammad. They believe in Allah, and they believe in their Prophet Muhammad, and they believe in such and such and such and such. And then he told him, how long have they been? He said, for about 10 years. They've been for 15, 20 years. Like, their state has been established for 15, 20 years. So the Chinese empress was hearing these things, like, it's not usually normal for some new state to be established and to take over, to be so powerful like that. So the Chinese empress sent to the Persian empress and told him, if you want an army to start from Persia, Persia ends in China, I'll send you one right now. But these people, to what I heard, if they come over a mountain, they demolish it. If they come over a mountain, they'll demolish it. So they send a bit of support to Yazdajard. Now the companions reached to Maru. Where Maru was, the Persian emperors hid all his ancestors' treasure. And then he fought with that troop that he got support from the Chinese and the Indian Empire. He fought with them against the Muslims just to take his treasure. But the people that were living in Maru turned against their ruler Yazdajard and kicked him out and gave the treasure to the Muslims after they saw the good treatment of the Muslims. And Allah of Persia wanted to be under the Muslim Islamic State than being under the Persian state, especially after they saw the good treatment of the Muslims to the Persians. And there, when Yazdajard found himself that he's surrounded, he fled and he went to Turkey and he stayed in Turkey with the Turkish Empress. Now, alhamdulillah, the Persian Empire, all of it, all the way till east, up to Pakistan, and north, all the way through the Chinese lands, and all the way to the Russian lands, all been taken over by the Muslims. And it's all under the Muslim state, Islamic state, under the Khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab in Medina. Now, Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, now Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu wants to go west. Where's west? Is the Roman Empire. Now all this is happening in less than 4 years. And all these great openings and all these great openings of the believers. It's all happening in less than 4 years. It's just a karama. A karama means a miracle that's been given to the believers because of their belief. Not because of their weapons or not because of their numbers. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given it to them. One of the karama that happened to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Sariya. Sariya radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the leaders that Umar ibn Khattab has sent to fight against the Persians. And down there the Persians had got support from the Turks and got some support from the Chinese. And they were gathered hiding around Sariya and the Muslim troops. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sleeping and he saw a dream that these non-Muslim troops are attacking the Muslims from behind and from the front, from the sides. And there was a mountain. So Umar ibn Khattab woke up and he realized that these Muslims are going to get defeated if all the Muslims, if all the non-Muslims surround them from around. So he started to call upon Sariya. Sariya is the Muslim leader on the troop, thousands of kilometers away. Ya Sariya al-Jabal, al-Jabal, oh Sariya, the mountain, go and put you back, hide you back with the mountain so no one comes from behind. And all the Muslim troops heard the voice of Umar ibn Khattab. That when they came back, Umar ibn Khattab asked them, did you hear anything? They said, wallahi, we're walking in the middle of the desert, at the end of the world, and we heard the voice of Umar saying, the mountain, the mountain. So radiallahu ta'ala anhum went, put their backs behind the mountain and the non-Muslim troops come at the front and they fought against them until alhamdulillah Allah Azza wa Jal gave victory to the believers. Now Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu is now under the Islamic state, all the Persian Empire. And there's no longer such a thing called the Persian Empress. The Persian Empress and the Persian Empire is destroyed. Now it's La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Now, towards the west, there's the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire under Hercules. Hercules is the Roman Empress. He's got Jordan, Palestine, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, all the North Arab world, and all Europe. From Britain, Holland, Germany, France, Italy, that was all under the Roman Empire. The two greatest empires back there were the Persian and the Roman. And there was a few other small empires around. Now Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed the Persian Empire. Now the Roman Empire. Remember before, at the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent more than 4 troops and they met in a place called the Yarmouk. And when Khalid ibn Walid arrived, who was the leader of those 4 troops that fought against the Romans there, they defeated them, the Romans fled. Half of them went to a city called Damascus, the other went to Sahal. And at the same time, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had assigned Amr ibn al-As to go through Jordan and Palestine. So Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu opened Jordan and opened Palestine except few cities, north of Palestine, Umar ibn As had opened it. Now, the non-believers from the Romans, they went to Damascus and they went to Sahel. And the leader, the Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu had assigned is Abu Ubaidah ibn Abi al-Jarrah. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was under Khalid ibn Walid. People start to say, look, Khalid ibn Walid had opened this, and Khalid ibn Walid had opened that, and victory Khalid ibn Walid, and Khalid ibn Walid defeated this, and Khalid ibn Walid killed this. So people stopped saying, Allah had given us this, and Allah had given us that, Allah had given us victory, and Allah had opened that. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he heard that Allah on the tongue of the people, he wanted to show them that the victory is not by Khalid ibn Walid, or by the sword, or by the numbers, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he sent a letter to Khalid ibn Walid. And he wrote in that letter, O Khalid, the moment that you receive this letter, you give the leadership to Abu Ubaidah. So Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the moment he received that letter, he opened it, straight away he gave the leadership to Abu Ubaidah. He didn't say, why? Look at him, he's jealous from me. He doesn't want this from me. Wallah, he doesn't want the good from me. He's jealous of Kaza. Straight away, obedience. My Amir had said something, I obey. Even if it's against my will. And Umar knows that no one is better than Khalid. And Khalid knows that no one is better than him. And Abu Ubaidah knows that he's nowhere near the skills or the experience that Khalid ibn Walid has. But it's an order from Amir al-Mu'mineen. I listen, obey, even if it's against my will. Okay, Abu Ubaidah, I'm under you and you are my leader now. So Abu Ubaidah sent a letter to Umar ibn Khattab telling him, where do we start first? Do we start with Damascus or do we start with Sahal? So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu ordered them to start with Damascus. They went to Damascus. Damascus is one of the old cities in the world. They say even it's the oldest city in the whole world. Abu Ubaidah came from south of Damascus. Khalid ibn Walid came from north of Damascus. At that time, the Romans in Damascus, they were ready for the Muslims attacking. So they blocked and closed the whole city. Of course, back then, inshallah, when you go to Damascus, you see one big massive wall around the whole city. Yani around all Sydney, there's one massive wall. Very high, about 10 meters high, or maybe a bit less, 8 meters high. And there's gates, the locker. So in case of anyone that wants to attack, they can't. So Damascus was closed, the whole city. No one could attack and no one could go in. They're waiting for the believers. They're waiting for the Muslims. Now, Abu Ubaidah is waiting to go in from south. Khalid ibn Walid is waiting to go in from north. They put them under siege for 70 days. 70 days that the Romans in Damascus stuck inside the Damascus city and can't go out. Until the 70th night, where every night Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent spies to see what's going on. Trying, you know, he, see. That night, after 70 nights, we heard an unusual noise. People screaming, laughing, dancing, music. So we asked what's going on. So it turned out to be that the ruler of Damascus had a news to baby his son. And he's making a celebration for his new baby born. And people are drunk to the max. So Khalid ibn Walid said, huh, it's now our opportunity or never. Everyone's drunk now. Everyone is off his head. What do we do? So Khalid ibn Walid started to get ropes. And he said, all the soldiers, everyone is, you know, drunk. Let's try and throw these ropes over the wall and maybe we could climb. They had tens of ropes. They got two ropes stuck. So Khalid ibn Walid and Qaqa were the first people to jump. And they said, once we say Allahu Akbar, the believers go in and you also make takbir and you go in. So Khalid and Qaqa went, climbed it. They went down, everyone is off his head. They break the fort against few soldiers, opened the gate, and they went in. Now the Muslims from Khalid's side are going in from north towards the Damascus, inside the Damascus city. Abu Ubaidah, who's in south, he doesn't know what Khalid ibn Walid's been up to. He doesn't know that Khalid has gone in. So one of the Roman priests in Damascus straight away wanted to go and sign a peace treaty between them and the Muslims. Better than being defeated, I would rather be under them and keep everything to us than them come and taking everything. Because if the Muslims get into war, they take everything, even the humans, even the men and the women. But if they sign a peace treaty, they don't take anything, but the rulers are the Muslims. So the So one of the Roman priests straight away ran to Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah and signed the peace treaty. Listen, we're under you, khalas. We give up. We give you our security. We accept to be under you. We'll pay you the jizya, but keep everything to us. Hala, Abu Ubaidah went in peacefully. Khalid ibn Walid went in fighting. They met halfway through Damascus. What do we do? It's either a peace treaty or defeat them. And they all become our slaves and everything belongs to us. So they wrote to Umar ibn Khattab, what do we do? Half of it was entered peacefully, the other half was entered by fight. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, consider all Damascus as being entered peacefully. And they left everything to them and paid the jizya to them. Now, and then Umar ibn Khattab assigned Yazid bin Abi Sufyan, who's the brother of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, who later on Yazid passed away and Muawiyah became the minister. Now they went down to Sahal, also opened Sahal, went to Hems, also opened Hems, and now Umar ibn Khattab ordered the believers to keep on taking over Syria one state after another. Khalid ibn Walid kept on going north until he went to the Ladiqiyah. Ladiqiyah is one city north of Syria. That's where the Hercules, the Roman Empire Empress was hiding. Now Khalid ibn Walid opened one city after another, and every city that used to hear of another city being opened, either they say, listen, we accept the jizya, the tax, and we'll be under you, or some of them will just run away, or the other will fight and they'll be defeated. Until Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived to the Ladiqiyah. In Ladiqiyah there was great mountains, there was great castles on the peak of the mountains. And one of those castles, I went to it in 98. And you find that just a castle being built on a mountain. So there's no chance for someone to walk. So just, you know, if they want to hide, they could hide. So Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to that palace. Went to that big castle. And the Romans are hiding inside that castle. And the Muslims are at the bottom and they are at the top of the mountain. So Khalid ibn Walid said, Wallahi. He sent them a letter. He said, Wallahi, if you were in the heavens, Wallahi will come up to you. Come down to us. So they sent down to him. They got scared. Shuwada. Wallah, these guys may be even flying, huh? So they said, okay, we'll accept the peace. We accept to come under, and we accept to pay the jizya, and we'll come down. So after they came down, one of the Roman leaders comes up to Khalid ibn Walid and tells him, Oh Khalid, is it true that your Lord had sent down a sword from him? He gave it to your prophet and gave it to you? He thinks it's a true sword because Khalid ibn Walid was called the drawn sword of Allah. So he said, now Allah Azza wa Jal named me in one of the battles that we fought against you in the battle of Mu'tah. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And then Hercules ran from that palace, went to another palace until Khalid ibn Walid, with few number of believers chasing Hercules until he went to his capital city in Istanbul. They used to call the Constantinople back then in Turkey. And that's where Khalid ibn Walid stopped. Now, alhamdulillah, the Persian Empire towards the Arabian Peninsula is under, the Roman Empire towards the, next to the Arabian Peninsula is under the Muslims. What's left now? Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is in Palestine, he went and fought against one of the strongest and smartest, they call him, one of the strongest, smartest Roman leaders. That was an Ajadil in Palestine. Umar ibn As with the Muslims fought against him. They defeated them. Then they went to Bayt al-Maqdis. Bayt al-Maqdis is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is one of the holy cities to the Muslims. And it's also a holy city to the non-Muslims. Now Umar ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to open Jerusalem. When he came to open Jerusalem, the person, or the leader of Jerusalem, who was a priest, came out to Amr ibn As and told him, listen, there's no need for you to fight. It's written in a book that there's someone going to come and take this. And his name is Amr, Umar, Imar, something like that. So if when Imar, Umar, whatever his name comes to us, we give him the keys peacefully. So Amr ibn As told him, my name is Amr. I'm the one. So he told him, how do you spell your name? His name was four letters. He said, no. The one that's going to come and take it, his name is spelled in three letters. He said, our leader, his name is Umar ibn Khattab. Then he told him, describe him to me. So he described him to him, he told him, he's this and he's that, he's this and that. He said, Wallah, sounds like him. So Umar ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the leader of Jerusalem is ready to give us the keys of Jerusalem peacefully, but you have to come on your own. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu consulted the companions. The companions said, oh Umar, go. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu left Medina and he assigned Ali ibn Abi Talib to be in charge on him until in charge of the Muslims until he comes back. Now Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't go with an army of 100 people with him, security guards, ukaza, the best clothing. He went with one camel and one servant. One camel and one servant. Once he rides, and the other time the servant rides. He told him, listen, ya ghulam, if I'm going to ride all the way, I'll have been unjust to you. And if you're going to ride all the way, you'll be unjust to me. What do you say? I'll ride halfway, you ride halfway. And I'll ride when you get tired, you come and ride. When I get tired, I'll ride. And so on. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu first went to Syria. In Damascus, down there, he met with the leaders of the Muslims. Khalid ibn Walid and all the rest of the leaders, the Umar ibn Khattab. He's all the time messaging them and they messaging to him and so on. And he saw Khalid ibn Walid and all those leaders wearing very nice clothing, coming on very nice horses. So when he saw him from far, he grabbed the stones and started to throw at them. He said, "Samahakum Allah, may Allah have mercy on you. I sent you to fight in a path of Allah and he's wearing all this dunya on you. Are you wearing all this clothing on you?" And he started to throw at them with the rocks. How could you? And sure, your dunya is deceiving you. You're getting sucked into the dunya. So they told him, Umar ibn Khattab, O Amir al-Mu'minin, please listen to our story. We realized that once we wear clothes like this, the enemy fear us. We've realized that many times when we clothes like this, they fear us. So they get scared of us, so they open their lands to us. But when they see us wearing very dirty clothes and that, they look down at us. So Umar ibn Khattab accepted. Then Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they looked at him. He's the most strongest man in the world. He's got one cloth on him, 18 holes. And he's got a camel that's nearly going to die. And he's got a slave with him. So they said, what do you say? We give you a better clothing and a nice horse that you could get. So they started to convince him. He accepted. He wore the clothes. He came on the horse. He felt a bit of dunya. He took it off. He said, La wallahi, Allah had given us the honor through this religion. Nothing else but this religion. And then radiallahu ta'ala anhu walked to Jerusalem. He walked. Before arriving to Jerusalem, whose turn was it to walk and to ride? It was Umar ibn Khattab's turn to walk. And it was the slave's turn to ride. So the slave said, Ya Umar, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, we're arriving to the city, these people expecting ya. You are the strongest leader, you are the Amir al-Mu'minin. He said, A'udhu Billah. I'll walk. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu walked. And before he arrived to the gates of Jerusalem, the area was muddy. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu walked in the mud. Until he arrived to the gates of Jerusalem, when the leader of Jerusalem, the priest of Jerusalem, saw Umar al-Khattab, he said, that's a man waiting for. He came, they gave him the keys straight away. He is the man they are waiting for. He is the man that's been described in our books. He is the keys, he is Jerusalem. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu signed a treaty between them and him. And the treaty says that they have their religion beliefs, their churches, whatever, so on. Everything that could do normal, but all they do is have to pay tax a year. What's tax? The tax, the jizya that people make a big thing out of it, it's half a dinar a year. Half a dinar is probably $1 a year. That's a tax that the Muslims ask for. So people make, Muslims want to come and take our money. Want a Muslim take this, want a Muslim take that. It's just $1 a year. Do whatever you want to do. Do not show the haram. Do not expose the haram. But at the end, everything goes back to the Muslims. Yani the ruling is the Muslims. Then Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu started to go around in Jerusalem until he went to Kanisat al-Qiyamah. Kanisat al-Qiyamah is a great church. It's one of the greatest churches for the Christians in this world in Jerusalem. And while Umar al-Khattab was in there, it was time for prayer. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to pray. So the priest told him, pray where you are. He said, La, so people come. So the Muslims come after him and say, Umar prayed over here. La wallah, I don't want this habit to proceed to the Muslims. Then he went to a stairs and he prayed on a stairs. And then he said, right on this stairs that no one is allowed to pray on this stairs. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu so was and was afraid from any innovation happening after him. Then he said, I wanted to build a mosque. So I told him, go and build a mosque where Ya'qub spoke to Allah. And that was next to the rock that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the rock that the, next to the, next to the place of the Prophet ﷺ ascended to Allah in Isra al-Mi'raj and all the prophets, which is Masjid al-Aqsa. And there's a place called Masjid Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was the first person to participate into building that mosque, and then it was built until our day is called Masjid Umar ibn Khattab. Now, inshallah, I just want to continue, finish off the last series of Umar al-Khattab. At his time, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great disease called the plague, ta'un, started. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if that disease starts, then the people that living in that city do not leave that city, and no one go to that city. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was thinking to go around to see the Muslim state and to see the Muslims and how they are 18 years after the hijrah. 18 years after the hijrah, a few years before he died, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So before he arrived to Damascus, before he arrived to Sham, to Syria, they told him there's that disease, the plague, been spread among the people and that. So, radiallahu ta'ala anhu consulted with the companions. What should I do? Should I continue my journey? And khalas, leave it to Allah or go back? So, majority of them told him go back. Except Abu Ubaidah, he told him what? You're gonna run away from Allah's destiny? You're gonna run away from Allah's qadr? So, Umar al-Khattab said, I'm gonna go from Allah's qadr to Allah's qadr. So, Abu Ubaidah said, well, I'm gonna go. So, Umar al-Khattab realized that's the last time he'll see Abu Ubaidah. So, he hugged him and Abu Ubaidah went and he caught that disease and he died. And then Abdul Rahman bin Auf said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying such and such and such, that if there's anyone with that disease, do not leave your city, and then let anyone come to that city. That after Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu died, Umar ibn Khattab assigned Amr ibn As to be the Muslim leader, the minister of Syria and all the part of Sham. And Amr ibn As ordered all the believers that have that sickness to go to the mountains and hide. Until everyone left the city and then that disease was destroyed. So everyone came back and their normal life came back. At that time, the inheritance was a problem for people. Okay, he died before this guy, that guy died before him. How do we inherit people? So the issue came to Umar ibn Khattab. So Umar ibn Khattab decided to go to Syria. He went to Syria and he went and started to look around the Muslims and that. And he gathered all the Muslims in one place called Al-Jabiyah. It was the biggest and the greatest gathering after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. All the Muslim leaders, all the Sahaba, everyone was gathered around the place called Jabiyah. And it was a great victory and everyone was looking, Allahu Akbar, you know, look, we control more than half of the world. We have this and we have that, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So one of the companions said, oh Umar, order Bilal to make adhan. He haven't heard his voice ever since the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam passed away. And Bilal promised that he would not make adhan after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Umar ibn Khattab and the companions started to ask Bilal to make adhan. So they could hear that voice that reminds them of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Bilal stood up, started to make adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu an la ilaha illallah. When he arrived, ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, started to cry and all the companions started to cry, remembering the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and that great man that left him behind where the hidayah came on his hand. Now Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before he came back to Saudi, to Medina, of course there was no such thing called Saudi, Medina, Umar ibn As started to tell Umar, oh Umar, what about Egypt? You're not going to let us open Egypt? Egypt! Egypt is this and Egypt is that and it's got this and it's got that. How could you let us not to open Egypt? We must conquer Egypt. We must get into the Egyptian lands. We must destroy the Romans in Egypt. We must that, we must this. And Amr ibn As was considered to be one of the smartest, most smartest companions. So I started to influence Umar. I must open Egypt, 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 Egypt. Until Umar ibn Khattab said, okay, go to Egypt and wait for my messenger. Once my messenger comes to you, don't take it. He don't do anything until my messenger arrives to you. So he went to Egypt. While he was going towards Egypt, Umar ibn Khattab sends a letter with a messenger to Amr ibn al-As. And Amr ibn al-As heard the messenger's coming. And he's running away from the messenger. Wants to reach the borders of Egypt. And every time he reaches a place, have we reached Egypt? No. Yalla, keep on running. The messenger's behind. He said, don't worry about the messenger. Just let us get to the borders of Egypt. Until they just arrived before the borders of Egypt, the messenger came. Where's Amr ibn As? Amr ibn As told him, tell him I'm busy. Until I arrived to the borders of Egypt. When I arrived to the borders of Egypt, you know what the letter had? Oh Amr, if you arrive to Egypt, continue. If not, come back. So he knew that Umar ibn Khattab is going to send him that letter. He knows Umar ibn Khattab and he knows he's been long enough to be, he knows his leader and how his leader thinks. So he knew the messenger had that letter that if he had arrived at Egypt, continue, if not come back. So he wanted to be on the borders of Egypt, so he doesn't come back. And then when he arrived to Egypt, Amr ibn As sent a letter to Umar ibn Khattab and told him, send me the support. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu went with 4,000 Muslims, and Umar ibn Khattab sent him another 4,000 soldiers. On the head of every 1,000, one companion, like Al-Qa'qa and other 3 companions who Umar ibn Khattab sent a letter to Amr ibn As, told him, I would send you 4,000 soldiers and 4 great men from the men of the Prophet ﷺ, every one of them equals to 4, equals 1,000. Every one of them equals 1,000. And then they joined up and then they went into Egypt. When they reached to Egypt, all Egypt accepted to be under the Muslim empire or under the Islamic state, to pay the jizya, except Iskandaria, Alexandria, in which most of them were Persians. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu fought against the Romans. He fought against the Romans in Alexandria, and it was a great battle. At the end, the Muslims won the battle, and at the end, Egypt and the Muslim Egyptians turned into Islam, especially after Amr ibn As, he opened Alexandria, and radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after he took the booty, that booty was taken from the Egyptians. The Romans took that from the Egyptians. So Amr ibn As gave that money and that booty back to the Egyptians. When the Egyptians found out, subhanallah, look at this man. He takes a booty and then he gives it back to us. These people are very generous people. So they start to embrace Islam, and a lot of them start to turn into Islam. And then Amr ibn As was in charge of Egypt at the time of Umar ibn Khattab till after Uthman. Now at that time was the death of Umar ibn Khattab. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu died by Abu Lu'la'a al-Majusi. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as Imam Bukhari narrates in his hadith, that Umar ibn Khattab was Fajr time and he came to lead the prayer. Usually Umar ibn Khattab goes around the line, sees everyone standing straight, lining up straight. And then Umar ibn Khattab stood and made Allahu Akbar. And the companions made Allahu Akbar and waiting to hear the voice of Umar Khattab of Surah Al-Fatiha. Although he had killed me, the dog, he had killed me, the man, he had killed me. So the companions looked and they saw a man with a knife that stabbed Umar ibn Khattab in the stomach. So all the companions start to try and stop him. His name is Abu Lu'la al-Majusi. All of them start to try and stop him. So he start to lay and start to cut everyone until he killed 7 people and injured another 5. One of the companions had a material on him that was covering his head. It threw at his head and that Abu Lu'la couldn't see anymore, so he killed himself at the end. Abu Lu'la killed himself. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar ibn Khattab was taken by Abdullah ibn Abbas to his room and he ordered another companion to lead the prayer. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Abdullah ibn Abbas, tell me, who's the man? Who's the man that killed me? So they went and saw him. He turned out to be a slave that used to belong to Mughira ibn Shu'bah. So they came back to him and told him, Umar ibn Khattab is a slave that used to belong to Abu Mughira al-Shu'bah. So Umar ibn Khattab said, is it Abu Lu'la? He said, yeah. He said, damn him. This man, I was so good to him. And the story was that he was going to be kicked out of Medina, but Umar ibn Khattab kept him in Medina. Why? Because he was a handyman that used to make swords and weapons. So Umar ibn Khattab said, damn him, I was so good and generous to him. And is that what he done to me? And then Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu stayed 3 days and nights. Every time he drinks something, the liquid comes out of his stomach, because his stomach was fully opened, until the 3rd day he died. Within that 3 days, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they asked him, oh Umar, you know, put someone after you, and assign someone. So Umar ibn Khattab said, if I'm going to assign, there was someone better than me that assigned, which is Abu Bakr, he assigned Umar. And if I'm not going to assign, well, there was someone also better than me, and Abu Bakr that didn't assign, which was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't assign anyone. So Umar ibn Khattab said, wallahi, I only have these 6 people in mind. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away and was pleased from them. Ali ibn Abi Talib, Uthman, Zubair, Sa'ad, Talha, and Zubair, Sa'ad, Talha, and Abdul Rahman bin Awf, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. 6 people. And then he told, and my son Abdullah bin Umar is a watchman. Yani he's a man he's a man just present there, but don't give him any leadership. Yani subhanAllah, look at the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. My son, don't give him any leadership. These days, my son, ghasban ankum kulkum, my son's going to be the leader. If it's not my son, no one. And then he said, by the time they decide on who's their leader, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the leader. And then he told Bilal, he told him, oh Bilal, listen, look at the words of Umar. He told him, oh Bilal, those six, whoever they decide on, the lesser number that disagree, kill them. So if four people agree on one person, the other two kill them. And if three people agree on one person, the other two kill them. He told him, what Bilal? Bilal told him, A'udhu Billah, you want me to kill someone? He said, la, I am not ready to face Allah, and fitna will start from behind me. So radiallahu ta'ala anhum, gathered together in one place, Ali, Uthman, Az-Zubayr, Talha, Abdurrahman bin Auf, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. These are the six. Ali, Uthman, Az-Zubayr, Sa'd, Abdurrahman, wa Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and they are also from the 10 Mubashareen, fil Jannah. They gathered together, they sat down, who do you want, who do you want? So they all said, listen, we agree on two people. Uthman, Ali. Okay, we agree on two people, Uthman, Ali. And one of them said, Abdurrahman bin Auf. So Abdurrahman bin Auf said, I agree with Uthman, Ali. So now it's the fingers are on two. Uthman and Ali. So how are we going to decide? One of us going to, his head is going to be chopped by the orders of Umar bin Khattab. Who are we going to decide on? So Abdurrahman bin Auf got up and grabbed Ali on the side. Told him, oh Ali. By Allah, you are the best people. You are one of the best people I've met. And you are one of the most obedient people I know. Listen, whatever we decide on, you go ahead with it. He said, yes. Then he grabbed Uthman, told him the same thing. Then after this, he puts his hand on Uthman's hand and said, oh Uthman, I'll give you the pledge that you're my Amir. And then Ali straight away after Abdurrahman bin Auf put his hand in the hand of Uthman bin Affan, and he said, I'll give my pledge and my promise that you are my Amir. And then four of them, and then all the Muslims and the believers accepted Uthman to be the Khalifa after Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up on a minbar and he said, oh people, I had been chosen to be your leader, but I'm not the best one among you. Fear Allah and fear the dunya. Fear Allah and obey him, and don't follow the dunya. This dunya is only la'ib wa lahu. It's only a temporary time. I am strong with Allah, and I am strong to relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the leadership after Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We'll leave this inshallah till next Monday. And next Monday, if Allah alam, if Ramadan is on Tuesday, if Ramadan is Tuesday, then Taraweeh was on Monday night. Usually now they call it Tuesday night. They don't call it Monday night. And if Taraweeh is not on next Tuesday, then we continue the lesson. If not, inshallah, we'll leave it till after Ramadan. The first Monday of after Ramadan, inshallah, we'll start the lesson. So, no one say, well, is the lessons on, the lessons off? Inshallah, since I'm alive, inshallah, the lessons will stay on. Since Allah wants, the lessons will stay on. So the first Monday after Ramadan, inshallah, we should inshallah continue our lessons. Subhanakallah, bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.